And good Saturday morning to you, and welcome into the Great Outdoor Show. And let me tell you, if you are not a fan of cold weather, well, maybe you ought to get your trip in before Monday, because it is coming. I have canceled my duck hunting trip for Tuesday with Mike Smith of Louisiana Marsh Guide Service. Going to be tough out there, maybe even hard to access the blind area because of low water. But he's out there this morning. As we open up the third split in the west zone of Louisiana, we'll get a duck blind update from him. And, boy, I got some good news for you duck hunters as far as what has moved into the state, obviously the result of some of that deep freeze north of us. Well, along with that deep freeze comes some unique fishing opportunities as well as some hazards to both fish and humans. Our Department of Louisiana Wildlife and Fisheries has issued a fish kill warning and some instructions on what you should do if you encounter dead or dying fish, and we'll pass that along in just a few minutes. Also, our bad boy story, we have four alleged wabbit nappers to tell you about. And have you heard that Louisiana is implementing the first ever redfish stocking project? Well, it's well underway, and we with Bayou Wild TV have been documenting every stage for a future episode called Redfish Reload. We're going to talk about the plan, where it currently stands, and when and where those juvenile redfish are expected to be released. We'll be talking with RFRI, that is Recreational Fisheries Research Institute Director, and former Louisiana Wildlife and Fishery Secretary Randy Parsina. And if you've got any questions about our redfish stocking program, or if you had a successful fishing or hunting trip this week, we'd like to include it along with your comments and questions with the reports of our professional captains and marina operators. You can do that simply by texting your message real time into the studio here at 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. Another question for you. What conditions are there just too cold to fish or hunt? What is your limit? When do you say, no mas, enough is enough? What does it take? Or is there anything that you wouldn't go out hunting and fishing in? Let me know, 504-260-1870. Here's your official Coastal Marine forecast from the National Weather Service. Offshore today, looking at southwest winds 10 to 15, 2 to 4 feet offshore. For tomorrow, those winds will switch around to the north and become much stronger, 20 to 25. Probably a small craft advisory will be issued, if not a gale warning. And on the interior today, you're looking at a west wind 10 to 15 knots with a moderate chop. And for tomorrow, north winds 15 to 20 and choppy. Mississippi River stage is at 7 feet and continues to rise. And if you're going duck hunting this morning, good news for you. The 2.25 million ducks that were counted earlier this week in for the month of January is quite a jump over the 1.56 million that were here in December. In fact, as far as the scaup, or dogri as we call them, it's a 500% increase. Green-winged teal, 386% increase. 166% increase, a little over 100% increase in ringneck. The only species that took a dive slightly was the pintail. They are down 67%. But there are lots of flying targets out there, and possibly even more with that approaching Arctic blast that's going to be hitting the Great Gulf South. So there it is. The stage is set. Hope you'll stay with us for our full 2 hours. We've got lots to talk about. Very interesting about our redfish stocking program. We'll talk with Randy Pacina about that. We'll be right back to kick all of that off, take you down to St. Bernard, check in with Robbie Campo, find out what the weather and fishing conditions are down there. That's where you're going to find one of those unique opportunities I was talking about. We'll tell you how to deal with it right after this. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. Now, let's see if Robbie Campo's fitting those shrimp with some Gore-Tex jackets for this coming week. Robbie, good morning. I was fishing this week before the deep freeze hits us next week.
Well, you know, Don, earlier in the week was a little bit slow. Yesterday was a game changer. Water temperatures warmed up a little bit. Guys that got out yesterday, we had a few people out yesterday, went fishing. You know, Don, this thing with, you know, a lot of people are getting educated on jerk baits, mirror lures, you know, and they're being very successful with it. Me personally, I've never fished jerk baits that much. So I can't tell you a whole lot about it, but what I do know about them, what I do know is the guys that fished them yesterday did very well up the ship channel here going towards anywhere from Verrett all the way to Violet, going to the wall at Chalmette. They were suspended. They had a jerk bait. I don't really know. I didn't ask the name of what kind he was using, but he said it would dive about 3 feet, and you know you'd have to hit it. He said it was a lot of misses because you had to leave a little slack on the line, and that's when the trout would hit it. So educate yourself on jerk baits, especially when the water temperatures get around at 53 degrees. It is a very, very successful. I mean, they did very good on them yesterday. It was good. So with that said, the guys that went out and fished the long rocks yesterday with dead shrimp went and made meat run. They went and caught, you know, sheephead, puppy drums, and, you know, not any trout out there yesterday. Did have some. You know, they were catching some trout mixed in with them a little bit, but yesterday it was just drums and sheephead yesterday out there. In the deep holes around, in and around, you know, any one of these bayous along this Biloxi Marsh, up anywhere in the Mystigo, anywhere you could find it's got a deep hole stacked up with big blue cats. That's, you know, it really doesn't require a whole lot, you know, a piece of dead shrimp on the bottom, fishing straight up and down, should do it for you. You know, a 3/8 ounce jig head, you know, death grip jig head on the bottom with a, you know, with a piece of dead shrimp on it works just fine. So I still think you can come out and make a mixed bag. No live shrimp yet still. It's been, you know, I think it's going to be spring before we see any shrimp again. I do know some people that tried, some other boats that went out and tried 6, 8, 10, 15 shrimp. That's, you know, that's not feasible to go do this. So I kind of think that's over with for a little while. But we do have plenty of dead shrimp on hand, and we had some minnows, but we sold those out yesterday. So all I have today is dead shrimp. I know I'm getting a lot of calls about what's going to happen next week with this, are we going to have a jubilee next week? So more than likely, yes, we are going to, you know, the stars are going to align for this thing to happen. With that said, you know, Don, I tell people this because I don't want to see anybody get in trouble. They had a little jubilee go on, you know, a week ago over here. A lot of juvenile redfish. They did have some keepers in them, but a lot of the fish was 16, 17 inches. The guy standing next to you may be a wildlife agent in plain clothes. Don't do anything stupid. I'll tell you this because I don't want, somebody to get caught and have, you know, to go to court and all the other stuff for a fish. It's not worth it. They'll be there. They were there last week. You know, wildlife fishers is doing what they're supposed to do, but they may be there standing next to you with a pole in their hand. Make sure you do the right thing, guys. Don't go there and go get yourself in trouble.
Yeah, what we're talking about is right there in Bayou Lutry, which is the water body that runs right past the marina, circles back all the way to Hopedale, goes underneath the Wycloski Bridge, and you're going to find people parking their trucks and fishing the bank there. It's going to be extremely cold Monday and Tuesday, but it's a little deeper water, and those redfish will be stacking up in there. Bite is slow. I guess, Robbie, you're making up some little packages of the dead shrimp because that's what they want. You put them on, you know, a jig head, or you can fish with a sinker, get it down on the bottom and wait for that bite. But as you mentioned, keep your limit. And if there are any fish kills and you see dead or dying fish, you got to remember your possession limits are exactly the same. It doesn't change because they're dead fish. If you get caught with the fish, it's just as if you had caught them and you were over the limit. So I know it seems wasteful to let them go or just leave them, but that's the way the law is.
Yeah, and Don, unfortunately, we don't want anybody getting caught. You know, I remember I'm gonna go back here a couple of years ago when we had a freeze, real cold event, and we had one of these jubilees, and this will make you think twice about doing this kind of stuff. Guy had a Cadillac with. Took the tire out of the wheel well. And had an oyster sack there, and had, was filling it up with, and the size limit then was 16 inches. So he had a bunch of 15 fish, and the sack was full. So he gets caught. Took him to jail. Got tickets. This is a very costly ordeal for a fish. It's not worth it. My grandpa used to tell me something. He said, if you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. Well, that's one of the times that you win a stupid prize,
Some people
try to push the limits, And I get it. Right. I don't get it, but I know it happens. So, don't do that. Don't be that guy. Clean your mess up and let the next guy get in there and get him some. But I do think it's going to happen, Don. I really do. I think this coming Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe Thursday, it's going to be on.
Yep, and reminder to be respectful of people's property because, if they're kind enough to allow you to get on their dock and fish or right close to it, please pick up your trash and go. And, it's not just a question of not being caught because you're breaking the law, but, it's the right thing to do as far as conservation. Catch your limit,
yeah.
Be happy you got them.
Absolutely, absolutely. Redfish are up on a rebound. We've had low rivers the last few years. Things are starting to turn around in the right direction. So, be mindful of that and let's get this fisheries where it needs to be.
All right, Robbie, we'll check in with you next week and see how it goes.
Yes, sir.
Put your jacket on. Stay warm. I know it never gets too cold for you not to hunt.
Yeah, right. You got that right. But I'm not looking forward to this, Don. Bye. Bye-bye.
I know what you mean. There he goes, Robbie Campo. Yeah, we got some chilly weather coming. All right, when we come back after this, Randy Pacina is going to join us. We're going to talk about the Redfish Stocking Program, Louisiana's first ever. We'll tell you what it's all about. Right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. As you may or may not be aware, we have a redfish stock enhancement program, basically stocking of redfish underway here in Louisiana. We at Bayou Wild TV are documenting every step of it, and we've been following it, and we plan to follow it through, and you can watch it on some upcoming episodes, but that might be a while. So we're giving you a sneak preview with the recreational Fisheries Research Institute Director Randy Pacina, who is spearheading this, and Randy joins us now. If you've got any questions about it, we invite you to text them to us at 504-260-187. Randy, good morning, and good to have you with us.
Great to be here, Don. Wish it was a little later.
Well, this is the time the fishermen are up and listening, and with the forecast, I think we're going to probably have a good audience to hear about it, and it's good news. Tell us about this redfish stocking program. Why was it deemed necessary, and why is it important?
Great question. In my former life, I was the head of fisheries for the state. I worked for wildlife fisheries for 25 years. Again, as you know. Think about it, growing up fishing redfish trout here, we felt like, oh man, this is bountiful. We have endless supply of everything in Louisiana, particularly fish. But, as our marsh deteriorates and the conditions aren't right, or there's more fresh water, what have you, we started noticing a trending downward in fish populations, and particularly redfish. Just like your caller before said, a lot of it has to do with too much fresh water. Maybe there's too much snow up north, too much river discharge. Lots of things cause it. So we never thought about it over the years till recently. And in fact, the funny part is every Gulf state has a marine saltwater fish stocking program, except for Louisiana. And now, we stock bass and crappie and perch and all that, but never saltwater fish or redfish. And so anyway, at the most recent stock assessment, it's not looking good for redfish. And anecdotally, the anglers out there don't see it as well. Now, you know that natural cycles in the population, we have good years, we have bad years, but overall the trend seems to be going downward. So why wouldn't we be supplementing that stock with saltwater, you know, through a stock enhancement program like redfish? Think about it this way, Don. You know, if you have, you pay your insurance on a house, right? You pay insurance for a reason, right? So if your house, if the roof flew off or caught on fire or whatever, got flooded in the storm, you couldn't come up with $200,000-$300,000 just laying around to go fix or rebuild or buy a new house. But you do have enough money to spend a little bit every year in insurance as an insurance policy for that. And that's how we see this redfish stock enhancement program. We hope that the natural cycles in the populations will bring them back. We'll have a lot of good redfish. But if not, on the off years, we're constantly releasing fish. In the fish we release, we're releasing them directly into the marsh. They're 2 to 3 inches. They're going right into the marsh. They have a good chance to survive. The natural populations, as you know, they're spawned offshore, and we're dependent on Mother Nature to blow them in and get into the marsh and be safe. So you could have a year where you don't have a lot of good, steady southeast winds pushing the fish in. Maybe it's because of hurricanes. Maybe it's because of all sorts of different reasons, or too much fresh water coming out of the river, and it blows those fish away. Now, those eggs may go to another state. They may stay offshore. The salinity's too low. They sink into the mud and die. So we think there's a big need for a stock enhancement program. Maybe we don't have to release 10 million fish every year, but we need to be releasing some fish every year. Get this program up and running and have that insurance policy for the future.
All right, Randy, when we come back, while this is groundbreaking for Louisiana, it has been done by our Gulf Coast neighbors in Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida. I want you to talk about what successes they've enjoyed, and also we'll get to the meat of our plan, how it's going to work, what it's all about. We're talking with Randy Pacina, director of the Recreational Fisheries Research Institute, former Office of Fishery guy with the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, and we'll be back to continue this conversation right after this. All right, Louisiana's redfish stocking program is underway. We're talking with Randy Pacina, who is with the Recreational Fisheries Research Institute, former Office of Fishery official with the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, and we're going to get to the meat of the plan. But first, we got to pause a quick 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And if you got a question or comment, we've got a few of them coming in. You can text us to us at 504-260-1870, and maybe you'll have some more comments after you hear about the plan. Randy, we mentioned Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida have done hatchery-based stockings. How is it proven out for them?
Well, again, another good question. So, you know, traditionally, all these fish that are released had to be marked by some physical marker. And it makes it hard to identify those fish. So historically, the fish being released from a hatchery and then being recaptured through some sort of monitoring program, you know, it could be anywhere from 1 to 5, 6, 7% of the fish released or captured. In other words, they make it to the fishery. So when Louisiana's redfish, size number was 16, that's when I say make it to the fishery, that means they make it to 16 inches, or now it's 18 inches, I guess. So, but there's new technology out there now, and that's what really speared us up to start this program in Louisiana, using the new genetic technology. So now you see, not to get in the weeds on that, but now you see programs all across the country, California, South Carolina, Texas, Florida, where with the genetic marker, you're seeing a real benefit to releasing the fish, and some words up to 10, 20, 25%. So it's a genetic marker. Every fish is has a unique genetic code. So we take the genetic information from the broodstock fish, the fish that we capture to act as the parent fish, and then all the fish we sample out in the wild, we can compare it to the broodstock to see if they're offspring. And with this program, we can actually see their children or the grandchildren of the offspring. So now you see most programs are, 24% of the fish in the wild population have their origins from the hatchery. That's pretty significant. Think about it. Of the billions and billions of hatch eggs in the natural spawn, I can promise you that number, it isn't 1% that make it to the, you know, make it to the hatchery size, make it to that 16, 18 inch fish.
Well, I got to tell you that, I was going to say that genetic technology now has really made the evaluation so much more accurate, where you can really see the results of your program. If you would, Randy, let's get into the plan itself. Tell us how the plan has started, what's been done so far, and what's coming down for the future.
Well, again, Don, we thought it was a good idea with this new technology out there to be able to demonstrate that it's not, you know, it's not wasting money in the water, that it's a good deal and we should do this. So, you know, I had retired from the state in 2016. And so about 2 years ago, I kind of went to visit with David Cressall in the CCA. I said, David, let's do this program. The technology's here to do it. I got the time to do it. So we started visiting the department, and we finally talked them into giving us a pilot permit to go out and do something, which we got towards the end of Governor Edwards' regime. And now with the new regime, Governor Landry, they've been super, super supportive of this program. So we actually finally got out this fall, and we collected our brood stock. You know, we collected some of our first fish from east and west of the river at the CCA Ride the Bull Kayak Tournament this past fall. And then I've gone back out a couple times to Grand Island, Venice, and supplemented some fish. So we have 11 brood stock of parrot fish at the hatchery in Mississippi, University of Southern Mississippi. Now, they have to go through 150-day conditioning program, and that's where the fish are tricked into believing it's fall again, and so they'll be primed to spawn or reproduce, and that should happen at the end of April of this year. At that point, it'll take about 2 months, maybe three, for those fish to get, you know, 2, 3, 4 inches, and then we'll take the fish, bring them back to Louisiana and release them. What we plan to do for this first release, which is only going to be 100,000 fish for the pilot study, is to release some in the Wrigley's, release some in Grand Isle, and release some over in Lake Charles to kind of spread it out.
Very good. Now, I saw those fish over at the in Ocean Springs at the Mississippi Hatchery, and they looked very healthy and very good. When should we expect these fish to be mature enough to where people are catching them? And how would you complete that genetic testing to ensure that these were, in fact, some of the fish that were hatched and released?
So the fish we released them this summer. It'll be a year. In a year, they'll hit the fishery. You know, they'll be that 18 inches that where somebody could actually catch one of them. The other good part, not only the advancement in the technology to be able to identify these fish, but the department under Governor Landry has dedicated to doing the monitoring for us. And that's a big deal. As you know, 12 months out of the year, Louisiana Department of Wildlife Fisheries has sampling teams out there pulling gill nets and trammel nets and seines. So from the get-go, from the first release of our fish, LDWF will be pulling fish, and what they do is they cut a fin clip, just a little piece of the fin. They put it in a vial with some alcohol, and they send it to Southeastern University here in Hammond, and that's where our genetic team is. And they'll start testing those fish to see if they are wild fish or are they hatchery raised fish.
Very good. Randy, we're going to take a break here and we come back. You know, I was really impressed with both the personnel and the facility there in Ocean Springs at Mississippi's Hatchery. I want you to explain to people why, if you can, why there is no fish hatchery here in Louisiana when our neighbors to the east and west both have those. If you got a question or a comment, you can text me at 504-260-1870. We're talking reloading the redfish in Louisiana waters. It's coming. We'll be right back after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. If you're just getting up and tuned in, we've been talking with Randy Pacino of RFRI. We're talking about Louisiana's first ever stocking program, and the brood stock have been captured. They've been brought to Ocean Springs, Mississippi, to their fish hatchery, where they will be tricked into spawning sometime in April. Those brood stock, those fingerlings, will be transported back here to Louisiana, They're also genetically tagged. They'll be released in the Wrigley's, Grand Isle, and Lake Calcasieu areas, and hopefully we'll get some similar results to what has been done and enjoyed by Texas and Mississippi and other states. As I mentioned, Randy, I was really impressed with that Ocean Springs facility. They got some really great people over there, and they've got some great resources. As I recall, we had plans and, I believe, funding to create a Louisiana hatchery. What happened to that?
That's right. If you remember, I think 2014, you know, after the BP oil spill, there was money available. And at the time, Garrett Graves was the head of CPRA, and he made $25 million available to Wildlife and Fisheries to build a hatchery. We were going to build it over in the Cameron, Calcasieu area. And then the administration's changed. You know, politics sometimes gets involved in things, unfortunately. And when the administration's changed, the governor's changed, they wanted to do something else with the money, and they moved it to another program.
Any idea on when that idea may come back again? Because obviously this is something that we are going to need, and Louisiana deserves it. We should have that.
Well, I can tell you, this administration released a million dollar grant for aquaculture, in particularly finfish aquaculture. And a company... Dr. Stephen Pollock has a small oyster hatchery at the LSU Innovation Park, and he won the grant, and I've been communicating with him, and he's going to move forward to do exclusively stock enhancement finfish raising or redfish. And so I think he just signed all the paperwork in January, and he's starting to retool and buy all the equipment. So maybe, I'm not exactly sure this is his timeline, but we think easily next year or within 2 years, we can have a Louisiana hatchery again. Well, not again, but for the first time producing our own redfish.
That would be fantastic, and please keep us apprised of that. Randy, fishermen will be happy to hear that there's not one red cent coming from their pockets for this program, but it does take an awful lot of funding. You have found some very valuable supporters, and you might want to talk about a little bit of a debt of gratitude fishermen owe to them for providing the funding to do this project.
Absolutely. When we started first pushing this, you know, the Department of Wildlife Fisheries has the budget, and they just didn't have the budget in place, and they were going through some rough times. Just remember, they had to do a relicensing structure to make some money. But and I was very anxious to get the permit and get the program going, because I knew the groundswell was great out there to get this done. And so we pledged that, look, if they help us with the monitoring and they help us do everything they can, get us the permit, support us, we will fundraise and make this happen. Of course, right away, you know, RFRI and its donors put up a bunch of money. CCA Louisiana was first in line to participate, and they are my number one partner in this project. Air Products also came through with a big donation. Louisiana Natural Gas came through. AFCO, American Fish and Tackle Company, Louisiana Charter Association. A lot of groups have stood up, West Bank Fishing. A lot of groups have stood up and made some significant donations, and we need more. Look, the more money we raise, the more fish we can release, and that's the bottom line.
So if we have someone that's listening, business personnel especially, that may be interested in sponsoring and contributing to this program or the building of the fish hatchery or whatever, and volunteers, I guess you can never get enough volunteers, how can they contact someone?
Don, they can always call me or go to our website, which is pretty easy. It's rfri.net, rfri.net. There's a page on the website devoted to the stock enhancement, the redfish stock enhancement program. There's also ways to donate through the website. You just press the button, donate here. My phone number is on the website as well. It's 504-415-7186, 504-415-7186. They can call or text me. They can go to the website, donate directly. Or they can get the contact information off the website and go to the website and read about the updates on the program.
Yeah, they're welcome to contact me because I have all of your information. I'll be happy to put them in touch with you if they're driving and didn't get a chance to jot down those numbers. Randy, this is very exciting. I tell you, we're really enjoying it at Bayou Wild TV, tracking it, and I can't wait till we air the episodes showing the whole process of capturing and spawning the fish and then returning them to the other fish waters. And then even more exciting of that is the first day when we start seeing some very positive results from this program. And I want to thank you for your hard work and your involvement in spearheading this program. You've done an excellent job.
Well, thank you, Don. I enjoy it. It's always a pleasure working with you and chatting. So thanks for having us on.
All right. Thanks again, Randy. We'll talk next time.
Okay. Take care.
There he goes, Randy Pocino with the RFRI. All right, I got some comments in. We'll get to those in the next hour. We also got some fishing reports coming up. In fact, I got one just a few minutes away. We'll check in on Grand Isle and talk to Captain Darrell Carpenter, find out what he's doing to prepare for the big deep freeze. Are you ready? We'll be back to find out after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And we say good morning to Captain Darrell Carpenter, realscreamers.com. Darrell, did you get a chance to listen to Randy Pocino talk about the redfish stocking program, and what do you think about it?
I did, Don. In fact, I was one of the taxi boats that transported the fish back to the tanks during the Ride the Bull tournament. And it sounds like a wonderful program, and you couldn't find anybody a whole lot better to run it. Randy's a great guy.
Yes, he is. Well, Darrell, we're getting ready for a deep freeze, and you've seen and witnessed fish kills down there in Grand Isle. I don't know if they're to be expected. A lot of time it depends on how quickly that temperature drops, trapping those fish before they can, exit and get out to deeper, warmer water. What are you looking for, given the figures that tell us what temperatures we'll be reaching?
Well, I'm a little bit apprehensive about this one, Don, because we've got this warm up. And with this south wind that we've been having, the water temperature is coming up to almost 60 degrees, which is, it's pretty warm for this time of the year as far as those fish are concerned. And then you're going to have multiple days. Last forecast I saw last night was snow all the way out into the Gulf, with several days of right at freezing temperatures. So and we're going to a dead tide, so we're not going to have a whole lot of incoming tide to bring that warm water in. So on this one, hopefully we don't have too much of a fish kill. The conditions are setting up right for it to drop pretty daggum quick. Let's hope that it we've on such a rebound. We had such a good year this past year with prospects of a really good year coming. I just hope that those fish find them a place to hunker down and find them a nice quilted blanket and, get under it. Because it looks like it's going to be pretty, it's going to be a pretty good freeze this time. It's going to last a little while. It's coming at a time where the fishing had just started to get really, really good. I mean, man, this past week with those moderating temperatures, we had some really good fishing reports. Trout all the way up in Lafitte. I mean, just all the way from the mid-marsh all the way up to Lafitte. And then again, the side of the road just continues to produce. I mean, it's not everybody every day, but, man, last week there were several good days on side of the road producing a lot of trout.
Well, Darrell, drawing back on your years of experience down there in Grand Isle, are there any tactics that you change or things that you'd go to following a warm-up once this thing passes and turn to some kind of normalcy for temperature-wise?
Yeah, Don. This time of the year, you got to be willing to put up with your cold days, and you got to realize that, on these days when it's going to start off, the morning start off so cool, and you watch your tides and you watch your water temperature. It's not always, you don't have to leave at, daylight or within an hour of daylight. I mean, you watch for your incoming tide that's going to bring you warmer water. You watch for the sun to come up, that way it warms the water on the flats. And sometimes this time of the year, not stepping on the boat till 10, 11 o'clock in the morning is the way to go. If you're going to fish when it's cooler, you got to look for your deeper holes. You got to slow it down a whole lot. A lot of times just going to Carolina rig and letting your bait sit. The good thing about this time of the year, most of the hardheads have migrated offshore, so you don't have to put up with the catfish. You find them, it's either going to be sheephead, trout, redfish, or black drum. You might hit some spots where you get no bites. And it's just because, you know, the fish are either very lethargic or they've moved on to another place. But usually when you do find them this time of the year, it is the, you know, it's the kind of fish that's going to go in the ice chest. Just slow it down. A lot of times the dead shrimp are the way to go. You add that extra insurance to it with that smell. And then, you know, you get those good bluebird days a couple of days after a front. When the sun's out and warming it up, you just follow those fish up that ledge. And sometimes you're lucky enough that you actually get them up on the flats.
You know, another good thing about fishing this time of year is with all the hunting seasons going on and the temperatures dropping, you know, not what I'm talking about in extremes, but when it does warm back up, you just don't have the fishing competition for the spots. It's a whole lot easier to pick your spot and be in seclusion. Well, Darryl, look, I got you on my website. You've been there for a long time at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. Somebody wants to get in touch with you. What other ways can they reach you to find out about available dates?
Well, they can always go to our site at realscreamers.com or just pick up the phone at 225-937-6288.
All right, my friend. Stay warm. We'll check with you next week.
Oh, trust me. I heard your preamble coming into this about what is he doing to get ready for this hard freeze. I've been in the grocery store. I'm under my blanket. I ain't leaving out the house unless I have to.
I got you. All right, Darryl. See you next time, buddy. Thanks for that report, as always. All right, when we come back after the top of the hour break, well, I'm going to tell you what Wildlife and Fisheries says you should do if you come across some significant numbers of dead or dying fish. We've also got some reports coming in from Captain Mike Gallo. We're going to talk about the current Bayou Wild episode that is running. A tribute to Dutch Prager, a regular listener to this program and a regular fishing buddy of Captain Mike's and mine and many other people. If you haven't seen it, we'll tell you how to watch it. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Paddler's Report with Brendan Bayard, and we're going to visit a couple of duck blinds. We're going to drop in on Captain Ryan Lambert and Mike Smith and find out if those wildlife and fishery flyover reports are accurate. And we've got a shot in the arm for a lot of ducks coming down to Louisiana because of the cold weather up north. And don't forget, Bad Boy, four alleged wabbit nappers, all coming up on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And welcome back to St. Hubert's Cathedral Annex, located in South Alabama. Well, let me get to some of these text messages, a lot of them coming in. We're hearing from The Worm. He says, does it look like it may get cold enough for a fish kill? It absolutely does, but we hope it does not happen. The match director's going to Donaldsonville for the monthly service rifle match. Good luck to all those competing. And we got a blessed good morning from a listener in Ohio where it's raining, but they're looking forward to -5 on Monday and a -26 wind chill. Yeehaw, y'all stay warm. Well, you do the same. Old Man Sam's checking in. He says, when the conditions get bad enough for the fishing game to hold up, so do I. That's a pretty good rule. Got Vaughn checking in from New Orleans East. He says, will Monday or Tuesday be the right conditions for the Redfish Jubilee? Thanks. Yeah, we talked with Robbie Campo about it. I think it will be. Also, the Myrtle Grove Marina and out by the pack, the Point of Shen, there's some deep holes there where those fish will be stacking up too. And you may have one that you know of. And I'm getting tons of birthday wishes in, and I can't possibly respond to everybody individually on Facebook and text and on this radio show. Thank you to all of you wishing me a happy birthday. And Al Capone and Ben Franklin, also thank you. Also had a guy, I think it's Rob or Ron from Watson. He's got this at very same birthday as we do. Well, happy birthday back at you. Butch at the Wyclosky Bridge, he says, with this front, he can look forward to the fishermen in Bayou La Loutre. Yeah, and you can count on some of those wildlife agents possibly being in plain clothes, so if you're going to get down there and enjoy that run on those fish, make sure you stay within the size and the creel limits. Right, here's a caller says, I deer hunt in Michigan, including the UP. I'm not sure what the UP is. Maybe I should. Let me know. But during the mid-November, we'll see temps teen and snow. We let the deer hang in the barn for a week before cutting them up. Well, you do that in Louisiana, Mississippi, you're not going to have much left, generally speaking. All right, we got our friend Wingbone over here in Alabama in Wilmer. He got 10 orders for Wingbone calls. He is getting busy. Yeah, he's got quite a project going there. And he's going to do a demonstration. In fact, he's going to give a Wingbone call away at a very special on-location broadcast we got coming up in the month of March at Scott's Marina in Alberta. I'll give you more details on that. All right, Clark County, it's soggy up there. They got 30 days left in the deer season. They should be moving ahead of this front. But this morning they had a few lightning strikes. He thinks the deer, well, the deer is safe because he's probably not going. Here's one that says, oh, this is from our buddy David Hubble. He says he hopes it's drier over here than it is at the Louisiana Embassy and Meliton Sanctuary in West Mobile. As far as too cold for outdoor activities, if I'm bundled up properly, no wind and rain, upper 30s is my limit. Let's see, we got this one says, in the late 80s or 90s, I worked part-time for a good friend who had a cast and blast at Cutoff Lagoon in the Biloxi Marsh, hosting several clients on a crew barge. As you may recall, we had a hard freeze with snow, killed every redfish in the marsh. They were frozen by the thousands, covering the surface of Bayou Biloxi all the way to the lake. 4 to 5 inches of ice and snow was over a year later before we had any fish in the marsh. Yeah, it didn't take really as long as you would think after some of these massive fish kills. I remember the one in 89, and we thought the fishery was going to be hurt for decades, and in 2 years, they were back with a vengeance. Let's see, that was from Manly, listening to us in Alabama. Here's it, Rob. I don't know if it's Rob Watson or if it's Rob from Watson, but he shares a birthday with me, Ben Franklin, and Al Capone. And happy birthday to you. All right, so it's also pretty sure the redfish population in coastal waters is diminishing simply because of politicians and pogey boats. That's from Sam. That's one of the causes, but there are several factors that cause the decline in redfish, and hopefully that stocking program will get us back up better than ever. All right, we got Patty, Possum, Mud Tire, Rooster, and Mason. What a crew. They're reporting they've been having a good duck season, but had to move and let some spots rest a while. Always great talking with the audience. Roland's checking in. That's Roland Cortez, Dave's Bayou crew. They're having a great season in the last 9 days of duck season. Let's see. Question, did the Booker Fowler fish hatchery in Forest Hill close? No, but that is a freshwater fish hatchery, not a saltwater, which I think we really deserve and badly need. Here's one that says the politicians stole the hatchery money. That's what happened. That's my comment. That's from TV. We got Jason checking in on not that late for a birthday. It was just yesterday at the crew of Corey's Barbershop. Why do y'all never report on wild boar? Well, we had a wild boar hunt last weekend, and you're going to see it on an upcoming episode of Bayou Wild. It's a thermal imaging nighttime hunt with ex-baseball great Will Clark was there along with us, and Derek Poor with Troops and Tusks, and Bob Worth, and Terry Landry, and a bunch of great folks. All right, the flounder hatchery in Gulf Shores has a tremendous impact in Mobile Bay. Hopefully the redfish will do the same. Got the snake doctor checking in. New Orleans Fly Fishers Club going to have a fly fishing exposition Saturday, January 25th from 8 to 4. It is free. It's going to be at the gym at St. Christopher's Church on Durbany Street in Metairie. All right, got some more texts. I'll try to get to those a little bit later on, but right now we got to take a quick break. And on the other side, we're going to come back with a successful deer hunter and one of the stars of the Bayou Wild episode running this week. Talking about Dutch's Corner. Back with Mike right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, not only does he frequent the bayou, he also frequents the woods. And I woke up this morning to a picture of Captain Mike Gallo proudly holding on to the ear of one doe. Congratulations, Mike. I would estimate that nice young tender doe to be somewhere around 85, 90 pounds. Did y'all weigh it?
The scale showed 115.
Wow. Yeah, well, a lot more meat than I can see there. Well, congratulations. And say hello to Tom Stogner when you drop it off at Double D.
I will be going to see Tom at Double D and looking forward to some breakfast sausage and smoked sausage. They do such a good job.
Yeah, you know, one of my favorites is the jalapeno cheddar with the smoked sausage.
I like that one as well.
Very good stuff.
That one is very good. Well, I might Mike, have to shoot them up. They have more variety.
There you go. Mike, did you get a chance to watch this week's episode of Bayou Wild TV, which you are the star of?
I recorded it, so I have not seen it yet. Obviously, I'm certainly confident that Chris and yourself did an excellent job, but I'll be looking at it as soon as I get home.
Well, it was. I think it came out really nice, and of course, the real star is Dutch Prager, and it was. I think it's a very fitting tribute to him. And anyone I think that has not seen it, they can watch it and go on our website, BayouWildTV.com, and find out a station that carries it, or you can always check it out on YouTube. And boy, we sure miss Dutch, especially around this time of year. You know, when he would have made his 100th birthday this week.
Yeah, I was thinking about him on Wednesday myself. And the stars sort of aligned for us. We had great weather that day. We were able to get yourself and Glenn, me and Al and Steve, all people that fished with Dutch and knew Dutch and cared about him. So it was great to be able to have Glenn dedicate a spot on his maps, one of Dutch's spots that we fished at. So that's great. Dutch lives on. And people can go fish in a spot that Dutch has fished in successfully.
Yep, pick up a copy of Standard Map, or if you have a chip, you'll see it. It's Dutch's Corner, and that'll be the spot where we fished and one of his favorite places to stop and fish. Mike, what are you doing to prepare for this deep freeze that's coming? Are you fishing today or tomorrow before it really hits, and have you canceled any trips for Monday and Tuesday?
Not going to have any trips after the cold. Had a few go out this week fishing Lake Pontchartrain, produced some fish. As Robbie said, there hasn't been any live bait available. We've been fishing Matrix and Berkeley Gulp. Some people have fished some dead shrimp. And like a few of your reporters have said, the sheephead have been biting, the freshwater catfish, the occasional flounder, black drum. And the speckled trout, they've caught some speckled trout. We're still seeing a few white trout. Some days are better than others. And just like Daryl said, fish midday. You know, you don't have to leave the dock until maybe 10 o'clock. Start fishing 10:30 and maybe fish till 3. That way you can head back in without any chance of darkness. Or if something did happen to you, you at least give sea tow time to come get you with some daylight.
You know, Mike, it's amazing the extreme temperatures that you can still catch fish biting. You remember that trip you and I and Dudley made back in the days when I was given one day by the WWL TV to fish, and we had to do it on that particular day or nothing, and we went out in some brutal cold weather. It was so cold, Dudley's mustache froze, if you remember. But we still managed to catch fish. Where are some of your go-to spots if somebody's a diehard and weather doesn't keep them from fishing?
Well, you know, the fish want to acclimate to the water temperature. And once they get, let's just call that temperature 50. It doesn't really matter. If it's below 50, you really won't catch many speckled trout. But at 50 degrees, they'll still feed. They'll still move around a small amount. So man-made canals offer consistent depth as well as consistent water temperature. And then not a lot of water movement. Once they get that cold and get lethargic, the fish doesn't want to waste energy swimming against the current just to be still. You know, if the water's moving 2 miles an hour, that fish needs to swim 2 miles an hour to stay still. And it's a waste of energy. Obviously, if he burns off energy, then he has to feed. So if they can get out of the current in consistent depth, then they don't have to feed. But they're all opportunistic feeders, kind of like myself. So if the opportunity arises, they're going to eat. So man-made canals, consistent depth, a slow presentation. When you do find them, and you know, obviously we've been fishing many, many years, so you'll have several areas that you know that you can go to in those kind of conditions. But the intercoastal waterway, the canal systems of Venetian Isles, Eden Isles, Lakeshore Estates, Cohegan's Canal is a favorite when it really gets cold, the Bypass Canal, the Mr. Go. Those are all man-made canals in our immediate area that can produce fish.
Mike, next week when we got more time, I want you to talk about fishing with jerkbaits. We had a little conversation with Robbie Campo about that, and I've got some people interested in learning more about how and when you should use jerkbaits, and we'll do that. But in the meantime, somebody wants to get you, and when you're not out searching for sausage, tell them how to get you.
Very simple. You can find me on DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. My website is AAofLA.com. Angling Adventures of Louisiana on social media, or the phone number 985-781-7811.
All right, let's keep our fingers crossed there's no fish kills in your area, and we'll chat with you again next week.
All right, Don, and happy belated birthday to you.
Thank you so much, Mike. Appreciate it.
All right, see you next time.
There he goes, Captain Mike Gallo. Coming up next, boy, real chilly weather to be paddling around for your fish. But if you got some time this weekend, Brendan Bayard's got some tips for you where you can catch some nice trout. We'll let him tell you where that is next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. You know, it's before we get to our Strokers Report, always a pleasure to be talking with Captain Mike Gallo. I want to remind you, his reports each week are brought to you by a very important sponsor, particularly with this weather coming in. I'm talking about Seato. For Seato, you for $249, or you get a membership for a whole year. They'll bring you unlimited fuel drops, jump starts for electrical problems. If you get stuck on a mud flat in freezing weather, Seato is there for the rescue. It's like having a AAA policy, but on the water. It's peace of mind mostly for you and your loved ones who are back home that may be worried about you. And it's one call away. You can get signed up or sign up a friend or give it as a gift. Captain Chris is available at 504-301-4545 or simply go to seato.com. Let's talk to Brendan Bayard. He's got a pretty good fishing report if you can sneak out there before the deep freeze hits us. Brendan, good morning. What's going on?
Yeah, Don. Yesterday was a great day, you know, considering that we're in the middle of winter. You know, sometimes it's not too great, but yesterday was really nice. There was a lot of fish. Even in the shallow flats in the afternoon, in the morning, the borrow pits or the canals, the dead end canals were producing some really, really nice fish. You know, just in general, this year, I've been seeing a lot better fish than I did last year. So that's a good trend. Hopefully that continues. But, you know, a lot of fish in the, you know, over 18 size, and even had some that were, you know, in the 22 kind of size, you know, almost 4 pounds or so. So some nice fish.
Yeah, and some spots there that aren't too far of a paddle, although you might want to do a little bit of paddling or pedaling during these cold days. But for right now, this weekend should be an excellent place to go. Minimalist Challenge, the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club is sponsoring that on February the 1st. If you would, tell us again how it works and how do people get signed up?
Yeah, so we're all going to launch from the same launch, and that's going to be over there at the Leeville Public Launch. We're going to disperse in all directions, but the cool thing about it is we're all going to have the same small bag of lures. You know, it's typically, you know, 3 or 4 plastics, maybe a hard bait and some jig heads, and you just have to be very conservative. Make sure you don't break any of those lures off because, you know, that might be the one that's, you know, really suited for the conditions that day. And at the end of the day, everybody heads back, and then we compare and see who's done the deed and caught the nice fish and award the prizes. But it's always a fun event. This year's a little different. We're allowing people to use electric motors up to 3 horsepower. That's going to open the doors for some people that haven't otherwise been able to fish because they've bought a kayak that really only ran on a motor. So we'll see how that goes this year. Looking forward to it, and it's going to be a fun one.
Yep, and registration at bckfc.org. Brendan, in your experience watching that Minimalist Challenge and participating in it, which one of the baits do you think is the one that is the most successful that people use?
I've usually done the most on, you know, using a paddle tail. You know, I've a lot of times, you know, we go out there and the weather might be in the, you know, 40s or 50s and the water temperature hovering right above 50 degrees. And those kind of days, you really just have to, you know, work it slow. A lot of times the weather's so cold that the fish don't even bite the trout don't even bite until the later in the afternoon part. And I'm focusing on reds in the beginning. you know, every once in a while you'll get one of those days where it's a warm day and people are catching with corks or topwaters or something like that. But I think that's happened maybe twice in the 15 years that I've fished this event. So I wouldn't count on it, kind of thing.
Soft plastic on a jig head, probably your best go-to.
Yep. And just get some nice heavy fluorocarbon so that thing doesn't break off and you can use it all day long.
Because if you lose it, you're done. You're done, right. Thanks for the report, Brendan, as always. Appreciate it, my friend. We'll catch up with you next time.
All right. Take care, Don. Bye.
All right. And the Paddler's Reports are brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, located at 1926 Airline Highway in Metairie. Got those Tackle Tuesdays. Nice selection of all conventional tackle. And don't forget, they got a nice stock of that ever-popular Marker 54 if you haven't seen that shrimp lookalike. Check it out. They're also offering a Fly Fishing 101 course that begins on February the 15th. 3 to 4 hour class goes in depth through the fundamentals. So if you're a beginner or even a veteran, you can always learn something new. And it's also followed by some hands-on casting instruction and comes with your first fly fishing rig, complete with a rod, the reel, the line, and the leader. And instruction, you can't beat that, all for $250. Check it out. Give Justin and the gang a call at No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Highway in Metairie. And we come back after this. It's time for our bad boy feature. We got some alleged wabbit nappers. We'll tell you their story right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, catching up on some text messages. The canals and ponds from Powers Junction to Iris Bayou are full of ducks, as it used to be. And I've got at least 6 or 7 or more people who knew what UP was in Michigan. It stands for Upper Peninsula. Should have known that. Silver Hill Guy checking in, wishing a happy birthday. And we've also got Pete Chesser. Good to hear from Pete. He says he's still catching trout in Lafitte. It's slow, but fish slow with your favorite plastic in glow color. His daughter is playing volleyball today, otherwise he'd be fishing. You're a good dad, Pete. And here's one that says, only one word keeps me home from hunting or fishing. Lightning. That's from Captain Robin, who's actually in the duck blind this morning. Backstrap Stacker checking in. He's wishing a happy birthday. Let's see, we've got, I'll tell you, one of the most unique birthday wishes I got comes from Desiree. Desiree says, happy birthday, only man I used to enjoy waking up to. Well, I guess I'm honored by that. My advice, Desiree, maybe you should expand your circle of friends. I don't know. Anyway, we've got Lafitte LT. He got back from a trip to Costa Rica. He's looking at the forecast. He says he should have stayed down there. Yeah, I'm sure it was much warmer. And here's one says, rabbits don't get any respect. I guess they're like the Rodney Dangerfield, huh? Too many dang deer hunters, just my opinion. Not too many deer hunters, not enough rabbit hunters who enjoy it. All right, we come back after this quick pause. We're going to tell you about some bad boys who did enjoy some rabbit hunting, but it ended a little earlier than their plans called for. It's our bad boys of the outdoors, and it's next, right after we pause 10 seconds for our local stations to tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Our story begins back on December the 16th in St. Charles Parish, Louisiana. Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery Agent Lieutenant Thomas Wolf got a tip about 4 subjects hunting at night with headlamps near Ama. And when he arrived on the scene, he observed the subjects actively hunting and found them in possession of 3 freshly killed wabbits. Sharon Scott admitted to shooting one of the rabbits, and Kendrick Simmons fessed up to killing the other 2. Along for the ride were Yuri Santos Pavanelli and James Sam, none of whom had any hunting licenses. Lieutenant Wolf seized the 3 rabbits and donated them to a local charity. Cited for hunting without a basic license during illegal hours could result in $944 in criminal fines and civil restitution, up to 90 days in jail for 30-year-old Sharon Scott and 32-year-old Kendrick Simmons, both of Boutee, 28-year-old Yuri Santos Pavanelli of Kenner, and 37-year-old James Sam of New Orleans, our bad boys of the outdoors. Yeah, I guess if you're going to hunt rabbits at night with a headlight, no sense bothering to get a license, huh? Not going to help you out. All right, we got some duck blind visits coming up. We're going to check in with Captain Mike Smith. We'll see if Ryan Lambert's in his duck blind or his fishing boat Hopefully he'll be doing one of the two, if not both, on a cast and blast. If you got time and you want to shoot us a text, open board 504-260-1870. And we'll be back right after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, before I forget, I did want to get this out. The Department of Wildlife and Fisheries is informing, advising anglers, if you come across significant numbers of dead or dying fish, they ask you to contact the department. You can find the website. They'll have a specific address to report your information. They will ask you for your name, your phone number in case you need more information. They would like you to put in the location, good directions to where you saw the fish kill, approximately how many fish it was, and what species they were, and their condition, if they were still dying and floundering on the surface, or if they were all dead, decomposing, or whatever the situation. You should also be aware that the creel and size limits remain in effect, as well as legal methods of take, and harvesting fish beyond those regulations is illegal. All right, let's check in with Captain Ryan Lambert, our plastic man, who he was kicked off the island, at least the duck boats. They were all full. He couldn't hitch a ride, but he's got some other plans. Captain Ryan, what are the reports, man? We're reopening the third split. Man, I got some fantastic numbers as far as what the flyover indicated. Are you all seeing those numbers down in Plaquemines Parish?
Well, first of all, happy birthday, buddy.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
I was out the last Wednesday and yesterday, and really all I saw was teal, but the negative tides had no water in the marsh, you know, so they had big flocks of teal, but all the big birds were sitting off, and I'm sure we had some water this morning, although we got a -3, you know, that's about the edge line, and we had a southeast wind last night, so we had water this morning. And they'll be pounding because those birds, there's a lot of birds around, even a few mallards. So I think when that north wind comes tomorrow morning, it's going to be on like crazy.
I believe you're right. I think there's going to be some phenomenal hunting until that deep freeze comes. What is the temperature where you cut it off and you say, nah, it's just too brutal to go out?
51.
51. That's when you're in Mexico. That's not down here.
I seen it in the 30s in Mexico already. But I we don't cut it off. We go stick with it. But I don't go out at daylight. I don't cross the river in the dark when it's blowing 30, 35, and 29 degrees. We'll wait till daylight. We'll go out there. The ducks aren't going anywhere. You know, I don't like shooting them at daylight anyhow. Wait till it's safe. Everybody get their life jackets on, and we go crossing them big 28-foot boats. But we don't take any chances.
You know, we talk about fish kills during these times, these hard Arctic blasts. I don't seem to recall as many fish kills around Plaquemines as I do in places like Grand Isle and Lafitte and Dulac and Cocodrie, those places. For some reason, maybe those fish get in the river where there's deeper water quicker.
You know, historically, we had all these big, deep holes. Mm-hmm. But we don't have them anymore. You know, we don't have those big 60, 80-foot holes like we used to. You know, they all filled up with the dead marsh when it died off. But plus, you know, it's a little warmer here than most places. You know, sometimes up there 5 degrees or so. But this year we've had so much cold lately that the fish are maybe acclimating a little bit. So it's going to get to 29 here. But I don't think that's going to kill them because – another thing, we have those negative tides that push those fish off the shallow water and off the marsh. So they're in the canals and channels. So I don't foresee a lot of fish kills here. You know, as long as just depends. If it blows north, the west side will be fine. And the east side, there's lots of water on the east side for them to get deep, you know, all those river channels and stuff. So, and that's warm water coming off the Gulf that'll be pushing in if they have north. So these winds are going to be north. Today it's going to be west, so that's going to suck everything out. But when the big winds come, they're going to be northeast. So that's a good thing. It'll a lot of big warm water coming in off the Gulf, and then on the other side it'll be pushed out. So, you know, everything matters. You know, it's just so much goes into it. But if you're in a spot where you have shallow water and no deep spots off your marsh, well, yeah, you're going to get some fish kills. You know, I'm hoping the water is cold enough where they acclimated already to a lot of this coolness and just get on the bottom and just hang out instead of getting, you know, coming up to the top, floundering, dying.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the water temperature has been cold enough to kind of keep them from being in too shallow of water throughout the winter so far, and hopefully they'll be okay.
That's the last thing we need.
Oh, yeah. We don't definitely
need. It's been the best trout year in a long time, and I would hate to see it. You know, us taking another hit, because it was 2016 we took a hit. Mm-hmm. Then 2010 we took a hit with the oil spill. So, you know, we don't need another one right now, that's for sure.
Well, assuming worst-case scenario and we get down into the 20s, down there by you, it hardly ever gets to that, maybe right around freezing or 30s, and the fish get stunned a little bit. How long does it take for the fishing to resume? Does it take a long time, or is it just a couple days and they're back in it again?
It just depends on if they get hurt or not. If they get hurt, you know, all it takes is the water to warm up a couple of degrees, because, you know, they're cold-blooded. They whatever the water is, that's what they are. So, and this thing isn't going to last long. It's going to warm right back up. So, if they get shocked, I think by the end of the week, they'll be right back on it.
Yeah, let's hope
so. The redfish for sure. But you just have to really, really slow down. Their metabolism is so slow. You know, you have to crawl a bait around to get them to eat. So, you know, it'll be a few days. I'm gonna hunt Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and go to Mexico Thursday. So when I get back, I'm going to hunt the last 2 days. Maybe I get you down one of those evenings, and we'll close the season out, and then we'll go to fishing every day. So, yep. We'll know for sure by then.
Well, let me know. I got some unused shells I need to use up, so let me know what you got going on.
If you don't, I got plenty.
All right. Well, have a good trip down there in Mexico. You can maybe stay warm down there and then come on back and pick it up where it leaves off. By the way, I wanted to mention to you, I had to drop off my truck for a little recall thing over at Lakeshore Chrysler. And the guy that was working the service department told me that you are his favorite guy to hear on Saturday mornings.
Really?
I tried to talk him out of him and tell him how rotten of a person you were, but he just wouldn't believe me.
You know, I ask people why when they tell me that kind of stuff. I say, why? You know, we're just passion. You know, I got so much passion for the outdoors and for Louisiana, and I guess it must come out, because I can't talk enough about it and can't work hard enough to save it.
Well, you can't hide it, that's for sure. You really are one passionate guy. Well, listen, have a good trip, and we'll catch you on the backside. Give them that phone number if somebody wants to give you a call and check out the last few days of duck season or get into some of that fishing.
Yeah, they can call me at 504-559-5111, and just go to Cajun Fishing Adventures and check it out, and we'll get you fixed up. We're booking the fishing season now.
All right. See you next time.
Bye, brother.
There he goes, Captain Ryan Lambert. We call him the Plastic Man. If you're wondering, and the first time you listen, you wonder why we call him that, ask him about fishing with shrimp. You'll find out quick. All right, we're coming back after this. We go to visit a duck blind of Captain Mike Smith and find out what's happening in the wilds of Delacroix with all this cold weather up north pushing ducks down. I'm thinking they're going to have a great hunt. They may already be close to a limit. We'll find out right after this pause. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. A little while ago, we were talking about this week's episode called Dutch's Corner on Bayou Wild TV. Well, next week on Bayou Wild TV, we're going to air Champions on the Call, and you'll be hearing from two champion callers, waterfowl callers, Hayden Richard, and this guy, Mike Smith, and John Foltz will be cooking up some speckle belly goose. That's on next week's episode of Bayou Wild TV. Don't miss it. But let's find out what's going on in the marshes of Delacroix this morning. Mike, we got some glowing reports from the flyover report from Wildlife and Fisheries about a bunch of ducks descending in Louisiana marshes. Is it holding true?
They must still be in the cages.
They didn't decide to pick you.
We have a few on the water. We're getting a few shots, but nothing is better than the first split in November. That's a darn sure.
Yeah,
I don't know where they did this survey at, but it wasn't at Delacroix.
What species are you seeing?
Keel and dogeries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all. No big ducks. Zero big ducks.
Man, that is amazing. You would think that they would their way there, huh?
Exactly.
I guess that's what makes duck hunting so interesting. You just can't. You think you got them figured out, and then they pull something
right.
Like that, you know?
Exactly. All the food's gone. All that grass we had during the first split, I noticed the coots, for the most part, have left. and there's no more food. So, you know, when the coots leave, there's no food.
that's definitely a possible explanation. When there's no food, there's no ducks. Right. You're going to go find something else. Now, the dogries, you know, they're divers. They can go down and find clams and other things.
Yeah,
but those dabblers, they like it with some food that they can enjoy and stay warm. Well, hopefully it'll change for you guys and you get a few shots, but, you know.
Yeah, we got a few shots already. You know, we let them know we were here. We got a few dead on the water.
Well, that's good. But, all right.
The temperature's perfect, you know.
Yeah, what it's temperature not, is it where you just say, we ain't going, like you did for our trip on Tuesday? What's the cutoff?
in the 20s and teens, and with that strong wind blowing, God, I was born at night, but not last night, you know?
Yeah, you know, access becomes a problem when you can't even get there when it's just, you know, mud flats. You don't want to be out there.
Yeah, if you get wet, it's over with, you know?
Yeah. You know, if you would duck hunting in a swamp, or you know you're in a little small area, you know, in access where you know within paddling distance, that's one thing. But man, the risk of getting stuck out there in 20 low 30 degree weather with the wind blowing, that's not too pleasant of a thought there for sure.
Yeah, plus they won't have any water in the ponds, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Mike, hope it continues and gets a little better for you. And, you know, things can change in a hurry, you know, next week after the cold front.
You may
be locked up, you know. You never know.
You never know. Every day is different. If you can postpone that hunt until Friday, and if you can make it, we'll do it then.
All right. Well, we got, Champions of the Call going to be airing next week. That show we shot with you and Hayden Richard, you know, over there. Yeah, hunting the speckle belly geese. That was a fun shoot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had a good time. I haven't killed a goose since. That was my last goose hunt.
Well, you need to go back out west. That's where you're going to find the geese. You know that.
Exactly. Yep.
Well, Mike, y'all have a best day you can. You know, hope you can grind it out, and we'll catch up with you next time, my friend.
Oh, yeah. We're going to start getting more shots. This happened more than once, you know. We get a few early in the morning, and the majority of our shooting was after 8 o'clock, so we ready.
Well, you know, duck hunters are always never too soon making plans, so if you don't have anything open this year, maybe next year they, you know, might want to take a look at, you know, your operation, because a lot of times people give up their leases, or for whatever reason they decide to start going with guides instead of doing their own thing. Tell them how to get a hold of you.
504-228-4506. LADuckHunts.com.
All right. I'm going to check my schedule for Friday and let you know how it looks.
That'll work.
Okay, my friend. See you next time.
All right. Good talking to you, Don.
There he goes, Captain Mike Smith, Louisiana. And you just go to LADuckHunts.com. That's the best way to do it. All right. Let's see if we can close out here with a few text messages that are coming in. Let's see. We had this one says, talking about Ryan Lambert being one of our more popular reporters, and this one says, it's because Ryan Lambert is so authentic. I'm a female, have never fished or hunted, but so enjoy my ride to the Adoration Chapel in Covington every Saturday morning listening to him because he is so humble. And here's another birthday wish. Happy belated birthday, Don. In addition to Ben and Al, that's Ben Franklin and Al Capone, y'all share a birthday with Michelle Obama. Boy, I bet she's honored about that. I have to ask her next time you see her. All right, here's one that says, enjoy listening and thankful for you and what you do. Happy birthday. Stay dry and warm. That's from our friend, the Baldwin County, Alabama teacher. And let's see, this one says, while fishing off the bank at Point of Shen this week, two fellow fishermen saw that I was not catching any specks. They came over to me and gave me the bait they were using. Good people out there, and proof that fishing has no color barrier, if you know what I mean. Now, fishermen or fishermen, no matter what. I found that out when I went to Germany. You know, they weren't real happy with a lot of GIs, but if you were a fisherman, you were okay in their book. All right, stay warm, stay dry. We'll see you next week. We'll be back for another 2-hour journey into the outdoors with the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.